Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You know, we just keep getting overwhelmed at how good God is. You know, about the time you think you really know how good God is, then something, you learn more information, you see this, you see things, I see things in people's lives, and it's like, God, your goodness knows no bounds. We met with the neurosurgeon this week, and they said, have you seen the CT scans? I said, no, we didn't see squat. He said, hey, let me show you the CT scans. This is when he came in, 11:30. He said, he got about a 1 millimeter pool of blood on the right side of his head. He said, this one was at 2:30. He said, it's a 7 millimeter. And it had pushed his brain off center. It was pushing so hard. And they said, that's why he shut down. And all that, we just sat there and we just like, God, you are amazing. First off, that you gave the doctor the wisdom to catch on that something else was wrong. But folks, he got cleared from neuro, from trauma, physical therapy, speech therapy wants to work on with his focus. We're going to go because I think you needed that beforehand. I'm busting his chops. He's back here. Grandma thinks he's safe because I can't see him. And we're going to go to occupational therapy, and it's, folks, it's looking like he's going back to school very possibly this week. So I'm just telling you. I just step back and I look and I'm like, okay, God, that was war. Where's the booty? There's always booty at the end of a war. What country do we get? You know, where's the gold? Oh, praise God. But I'm excited, folks, for what God's doing. What he's got for everybody's life, and I'm telling you, you've got to trust him in everything. You've got to trust him. There's no way you can sit and say, well, you know, God, I'll trust you with this, but I won't trust you with that. You know, the most precious thing to me is my family. You can take my guns, you can take my truck, my tools. You can take all that. But like I said, you don't touch my kids, my wife. It's a different story. And for the devil to try that. But what I forgot to tell y'all last week, I think I shared with a couple. On the Friday, he was in ICU. We were waiting. They had to do some things with him. So it was me, Angela, Bob, and Karen. We were in the waiting room at ICU. And these two ladies had been in and out all morning because they had to keep running out to smoke their cigarettes. And they came back in. And I don't say that to be judgmental. Okay, just push pause on the judgmental. Because the one lady stood up. I mean, they were only about that tall. They weren't very tall. And just as loud as can be in a room of about 50 people, folks, could we all just get together in a big circle and pray? And I was sitting there and I said, before I thought about it, I said, absolutely. Got up and I told Angela later, I said, I didn't hear anybody say no. And she said, one guy did. But he wasn't still sitting. He was in the circle. Everybody got in that circle and prayed. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, I do this kind of for a living. I said, so I'll pray. I'll lead the prayer. And I tell you what, folks, I know God moved on people in there. There was one lady, she'd been camped out in there. This was her third or fourth day. She was sleeping on that couch. And she wasn't even the actual family member. She had to be moved out whenever a family member came. So, don't know what the deal was, but I'm telling you, be ready. That's what the Bible talks about, being ready, instant, in season and out of season. That was out of season. Okay, a crusade, that's in season. And yet God used it. Anyhow, praise God. He's good. Get in there before I bless it. Amen. Let's bless the offering. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a good, good God. You're a good daddy. And Father, we stand knowing all your promises are true and amen. Father, you said your word will not rest. We don't have to keep browbeating you with your word. You know it's out there. You said in the beginning and said started creating things, and today we can prove things are still being created from that word. So Lord God, we stand on your promise that you said you'd rebuke the devourer for our sake. That devours anything that comes against us or our family or our finances, wherever it is, Lord God. Father, we stand knowing that you are true. Now, Lord, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. I present them to you as holy, separate. Lord, receive them into your bosom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. So I got to tell on Maverick for a little bit here. I was standing back here waiting, and he's back here looking at me over the chair, and I just waved at him like that, and he goes, I like, oh, yeah, he's going to drive a pickup someday. Get that finger wave going on. Yo. He does that. He's definitely following in his daddy's footsteps. Praise God. Well, folks, like I said, I'm just continually amazed. And I know I shouldn't be. But sometimes you need to be reminded of how good God is. How awesome he is. I'm reminded of the Rich Mullins songs that says, when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. When God rolls up his sleeves, he's going to work. So I can encourage you this morning, folks, whatever your situation is, let God roll up his sleeves. Because he's not going to just do a tap dance. Then he's going to go settle the score for you. So last week I began talking about honor. And started showing you some things about honor in the Bible. There was one thing I forgot to kind of capitalize on, and I was telling you that when I grew up, I was not raised to actually honor anybody except mom and dad. Okay? But my parents were hippies. Okay? Y'all need to understand, what do hippies do? They don't honor people. Nobody is above them. Real hippies. Okay? Give it to the man. Well, that's not what your Bible says. I believe in being different for Jesus all day long. I don't fit in. And speaking of which, is anybody going to backslide if I take off my jacket? Because I got warm. I'm wearing wool socks. Which are awesome, by the way. If you want exfoliated feet, wear wool socks. They will be soft. And if you weren't ticklish, you will be, I promise. But anyhow, I was really not raised to respect anybody. And you feared the cops. I mean, come on, I've told you about some of my family history. There's a reason why you feared the cops. I actually met an FBI agent one time, personally, with my dad and my uncle. And they said if we didn't put all that scrap metal back by the railroad where we found it, we were all going to jail. That was in about 1980. Yeah, so those railroad spikes you're picking up, believe it or not, they're federally protected. But I wasn't brought up that way. I was brought to even question authority. Who are you? Who are you to tell me what to do? Well, here's the thing. If God puts a teacher in your life, you better doggone well listen to the teacher. I didn't have the opportunity to have a coach speak into my life to kind of bring that streak out of me. So it took a Marine drill instructor. And, you know, I, as every young Marine recruit goes down, you got a chip on your shoulder. Yeah, you ain't gonna do nothing to me, you know. I'm bad. Man, I'm gonna tell you right now, they put the biggest man they could find on that bus. And for the little bit of the little bigot that was still in me, he was a black man. A big man. Put the fear of God in me. Said, get off my bus. And he stood in the doorway. That's concerning. How do I get out of a bus? People were going, trying to crawl out the windows. He finally moved when they started doing that. So what God did was, first off, he kept pairing me with people that kept chipping away at the bigotry. I'm still bigger than him. Little sergeant. If you all remember Froggy from the Little Rascals, that's what he looked like as a black man. Just a little skinny dude. He couldn't have been 110 pounds soaking wet. But boy, he's the one that threw the trash can down the aisle the very first day and got everybody's attention. And he could yell. And so I just had to start sucking it up. I thought, okay, I'll be okay. Then I get sent to my final platoon. Anybody guess who my senior drill instructor was? Yeah, another black man. I then had to learn to respect people for who they were and for the authority that somebody found in them. And in that case, the United States Marine Corps found all faith and confidence in Staff Sergeant Casilla. And at that point, I had to start learning it's not based on a man's color of his skin, but of his character. I had to start respecting people, even though I didn't think they had anything I should respect them for. Didn't care for my last, well, not my last platoon sergeant, but when I first got to 8th Motors. Didn't care for him. He tried to claim my wife as his. Dude, seriously? Ain't nobody dumb enough here to believe that you could get her. He said he was married. We never saw his wife, and I was there 2 years. Never showed up for a platoon party or nothing. Everybody else's wife, pretty much met them all, but his. We still think she was a figment of his imagination. But I still had to respect him. I still had to show him the proper honor. And when I got promoted to corporal, one of my buddies, I'm actually his son's godfather, he told me, I ain't calling you corporal. I'm like, what do you do, man? He actually had more time in grade than me. He signed up for 6 so he could get it. And I beat him. And I'm like, I said, well, Sean, let me put it this way, bud. If you disrespect me in front of anybody that you know I'm going to have to say something, I will burn you in a heartbeat. But you know, not one time did he ever disrespect me. Not one time. And so I had to learn. I had to start letting things burn off. Trusting people. Trusting that, you know what, I don't know why that lieutenant is, you know, if y'all, anybody in the military, all the military guys knows the joke about your boot lieutenants. They're the ones usually get you lost in the middle of the woods or tear up the vehicles and stuff like that because they told you to take a shortcut. But I don't know why. But the Marine Corps said, I have to offer them a salute as respect. I have to call them sir or ma'am. And so I had to do that. I had to start changing my attitudes about respecting people, about honoring people. See, I thought I joined the Marine Corps, and I got out and I said, I understand God better by joining the Marine Corps. Now, you need to understand, folks, I knew the Bible front and back going into the Marine Corps. Trivia contest, there was no problem for me. I loved the trivia contest. One of these days, I'm going to go down here because I like trivia. But I knew the Bible. I had the word in me. And so what happened was the word that was in me started coming out with learning about how to control the authority, how to handle the authority. Like I said, didn't have a coach. There wasn't nobody to tell me, hey, you're being disrespectful. You know, the drill instructors, if you're looking off, oh, there's something over there more important than me right now. They made everything about them. But the truth of the matter is there was nothing out there more important because they were trying to do something to save my life. Just like you coaches, you're trying to make your athletes better, aren't you? I mean, I hope that's the real point. There's been a few calls I've seen by coaches like, not for certain what that one was about. But you're trying to make your athletes better. You're trying to make your team better. And when your team respects you better, they'll go to heaven or in hell for you. They'll go to hell and back. David's men respected him because he fought side by side with them. One time he said, I'm thirsty. Oh, how I missed the water from home, from the spring. I forget the name of the spring, but a certain spring. Oh, how I missed that. And while he slept, some of his brave men broke through the enemy lines and got him a vessel of water. They brought it back to him and said, here, our Lord, here's the water you miss. And David was so moved, he poured it out as an offering to God. He said, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to drink this water. I don't deserve this honor. But yet his men did. God did. And so, when growing up, I had to start learning to honor people. And I began to respect, you know, for me, it was down there with my pastor. I remember the first time somebody said, you know, you really should call me pastor. I was a kid. I thought, yeah, good fat chance, buddy. I'm telling you, I had a bad attitude. I look back, I know what God burned out of me. And it took a lot of heat. But it took revelation of the word because I had to have the word in me in order to get it revealed. And then I've realized, because when we started a church, I was like, yeah, I understand all about God. I understand about authority and all this stuff. But the problem is I discovered you can't use military authority in a volunteer organization. Everybody will quit. You have to figure something else out. You still have to walk in the same authority, but you have to give grace. You have to give love, mercy. And I'm gonna pick on her just for a second, Alexis. I gave her the list for the things because the computer reset to a different version of the Bible. And she's like, oh no, I'm fired. And I ended, she says, does this mean I'm rehired? And I said, honey, I didn't call her honey. I said, Alexis, I said, if we fired people because they made a mistake, then I should have been one of the first ones fired. So, yeah. You're going to make mistakes. How you recover is the important part of it. How you took the correction from it. If you can't take correction, let me tell you right now, you're in trouble. And that's where we are with the world today. I mean, I don't know what it is like trying to coach these kids today, but some of them probably act like they know more than you do. I was a drill instructor for the young Marines, right about the time we started the church. And it's just, it's like the Boy Scouts, except they're trained to be like Marines from 8 to 18. Way too young in my book. But we had them through boot camp. And I remember I put this class through there. I was the only one in the entire organization that knew what I was doing because I had the drill manual, our Bible. And I remember training all these kids. We graduated them. And, you know, one of the things I told them, I said, listen, we got your kids now to where they're respecting the authority. They pick up their clothes. They take their plates and put them over here. They respect, and I kept saying, they respect you. Don't undo what it took us 2 weeks to get through here. They went through a 2-week boot camp just to be part of a kids organization. Like some of them have since gone on and joined the real Marines. But I remember I got called back. They needed another drill instructor for one day. And they said, Art, would you come back? Well, if I can still get in my uniform, yeah. I think it was only about a year later. It was another boot camp. And somebody took a picture of it, me and Jeff waking the recruits up. But I remember going out and I'm trying to teach them how to drill. Mind you, the only one in the entire organization who's been to NCO school, the only one who has read the NAVMAC 2951, which is the Marine Corps manual for drill, the only one who had a copy, and the one who had actually been out the shortest amount of time could still remember it. And here's the thing, though. I'm teaching these kids. And this girl would have maybe been about 15, I think, is what she was. And I'm telling them, I said, now, wait a minute. I said, who done messed all this up? I said, I didn't train you guys like this. Oh, no, this is how it's done. She argued with me. A 15-year-old girl that has never seen a real Marine drill instructor, who has not put her foot on a grinder, the parade deck, ever, as she starts arguing with the guy who taught her. I had to have Jeff take over for a second. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. What happened? Total lack of leadership, and I'll just tell you right now, and this is nothing against women, the moms took over. None of them were Marines. The Marine Corps would allow it, because it was sanctioned by the Marine Corps, but they would allow it. None of them knew anything. They just thought, oh, well, I was the executive officer, by the way. I had to resign because I had a little different battlefield to go to. But the point being, she tried to tell me how to do drill. And every bit of my close order drill, I scored 99 out of 100 just because that staff sergeant wouldn't give me 100. Had something to do with the fact I was from Ohio. Although he did like Cedar Point. But I tell you that because I was very good at close order drill. Doing it. I later went back to my unit and taught other corporals how to do it. Today, well, I can do better. I can do better than you, Joe. Morgan, I can play softball better than you. Well, that might be true, but you know some basics they don't. You know, I remember watching her after, I don't even know how long you'd been in college. You came down, and I don't remember what they were playing at it because it was here. Man, she does this thing with the bat and bunts behind her back. I'm like, what kind of witchcraft was that? And it was good. I'm like, I'd have got hit with the ball. The point being, I know she was taught. Well, I'm not going to say she was the easiest. I mean, I know her dad. There, I throw him under the bus for you guys. Well, I mean, her coach is sitting right there, and the other one's in there, so. But all children are the same until they realize they're not here to hurt me. You know, the girls you're training now, when they get it that you're actually not there to hurt them but to make them better, they'll get hold of it. Like teaching your kids how to drive a car. Okay, some people do not have the patience for that. But when you're in that passenger seat and you're like, brakes, 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 brakes! Jeez, Dad! Or you bend the floorboard. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I had a spot in the floorboard on my side that was bent. I'm like, maybe a little scar on the end of my tongue. I'm trying not to, and then there it goes. So anyhow, we have to learn to respect it, and I'll tell you why, that it would be well with us. Proverbs 29, verse 2, says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. You can take effort today if you'd like. Which, by the way, still, pray for our leaders. For those we have elected, legally or illegally. Got my opinion. You still have to pray for him. Because I'm going to tell you right now, illegal or not, he's there for a reason. Right now, people say, oh, well, you know, Russia knocked down one of our drones. You know, Russia's been flying in our airspace in Alaska for 20 years. They're picking a fight. They want a fight. Why? We go after them. Guess who else rises up? China. So we do have some leaders that are thinking, hey, we don't need to start another war. Hopefully. So when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When you realize your coach isn't there to hurt you. Now, if you've got an abusive coach, say something to somebody that can do something about it. Your coach should never hit you unless you're boxing or a drill instructor who's teaching hand-to-hand combat. That's it. Softball coach or football coach, basketball coach has no need to hit you and harm you. They may have to raise your voice. I know that's one reason why I thought, yeah, I might not do so well as coaching because I can yell. And when I get excited, you can ask my family. I can yell. That's why I was good at drill. I could yell. I could holler loud enough without losing my voice. But when the wicked are in authority, the people groan. Matthew chapter 20. Oops, it didn't shift on me. Oh. Did I? Oh, I did forget that one. Never mind. Romans 13, 1, verse 7. Starting in verse 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Again, this is Paul. But I believe our local historian shared a little bit about the time that Paul and all these guys were around. You got Nero, Caligula, just a few of the sociopaths of that time. And they're saying, be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. I just shared that with you. Even Caligula, Nero. What the things they did. Do you know what it really did? I think Joe hit on it a little bit. It caused the church to grow. Oh, you're going to feed us to lions? Why would people become Christians to be fed to lions? But it worked. See, when people think they stamp you out, and they keep fanning you, trying to blow you out, what they fail to realize is that when there's hot coals, you're actually fanning a flame back up. And so Christianity on its own might have died out. It wouldn't have, but it might have died out without the persecution. You get a little persecution, people start seeing, hey, you guys might have be onto something here. But if we're not showing the love of God, we're not teaching the love of God anymore, we are clanging cymbals. I mean, I don't know about you, but just sitting and listening to shh, shh, that's not, there's no rhythm, there's no rhyme. There's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Can I read that again? Whoever resists the authority resists the laws of God. Not my laws, not Joe's laws, God's laws. Your kids rebelled at home. I told you you had an 11:30 curfew. They've come strolling in 2:30. Whatever. Might have been the last time I ever got seen. You don't resist the natural authorities and think you're getting away with something. You will suffer. Crap comes to everybody. But when it seems like crap is always coming to you, check yourself. Quit blaming everybody else. Go look in the mirror and say, hey, you, dude, you with the bad attitude. You know, I actually had to do that once. It worked. I had to address the guy in the mirror. God and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Oh, wait a minute, I just told you that. When you resist the authorities that God has put in our lives, no matter what it is, if it's a teacher. Okay, let's say, I'm going to get a real good scenario, because I've seen a few things in high school that I'm like, how are you still walking? Joe, football coach. I don't care about your history. You take your history and you can stick it. Use your imagination. And then just goes and does whatever they want in the classroom. Now, I know Joe well enough now. That ain't flying in his class. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I know all the teachers here well enough. That ain't flying. As a matter of fact, when I was talking with Mr. Hosack the other day, he got a couple calls. Hey, we need you in this room. We need you over at this room. I'm like, where's the SRO at? Get him. He showed up in there later and had a little altercation in the cafeteria. And he looks, and I tell you what, I agree. One kid stood up to another one and screamed back in his face, and he said, sometimes you just got to let them do it. I said, bingo. The other kid backed down. But when we resist the authority that God has put in our lives, and this is where I had to start learning it for me. If I resisted the, okay, drill instructors, we're drilling, we're marching. You don't move. You barely blink. You barely breathe. Your hands are at your side like this. And this particular time, I was severely depleted of all mental capacity. We'd been climbing ropes with our packs and combat gear on. And let me tell you right now, that will kick your butt. Coming back, man, this sand flea bit me. They call them no-see-ums up here. That sucker got me right there and didn't even think. I didn't know where Staff Sergeant Canepa was. I didn't have a heartbeat. Conley! Conley's in front of me. Sir, as you were, Woodhill, follow me.
Yay.
I was going to go get water, go to the bathroom. And so we took off running through the old landing strips there on Paris Island. He goes running through the bushes. I'm like, dude, you got to do something better than that. You're taller than me. I'm like, I grew up doing this stuff. Yeah, oh, yeah, come on, do something. I get out there and cleared me out about 20 by 20 area. By the time my platoon came back through there, I was crying. Sir, discipline is the instant willing obedience to orders, respect for authority, self-confidence, sir. Why do you think I know it so well? I'm not kidding you. I think I did 500 push-ups. Side straddle hops, jumping jacks. Leg lifts, you name it. I told Angela, I said, that's the only time I cried. I was broke. I never killed another mosquito. I was like, you can take all the blood you want. I'm not killing a mosquito. I ain't killing a sand flea. They can have them all. I didn't even get to go to the bathroom. I had to sneak out later. But we'll bring judgment on ourselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have the praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. Police officer there for your good. Slow down. I've heard people say, well, he's already got me. There ain't no point in slowing down. You want to bet? Do you know how many police officers will not pull you over if you at least slow down by 5? Acknowledge their authority. I don't care if you're still 10 over. They don't want you jamming on the brakes causing an accident, but they want you to respect the authority and slow it down. I have a few people who are troopers. That's exactly what they've said. Just slow down. I'm not going to chase you for five over. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Evil is just the exact opposite of what is supposed to be good. Obey the speed limit. Stay within the limits that the police will allow. There is a limit. They will allow a certain amount of grace. 100 miles an hour is not grace. That's what the Holy Spirit kept telling me 2 weeks ago. When the truck says, you have exceeded the speed limit. That's why they made cruise, by the way. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but for conscience sake. You know, Caleb, I'm sure when your boys start driving, you want them driving around 90 miles an hour all the time, don't you? No. No, we don't. And we only find out later, and, you know, and they will eventually tell you, just like I'm sure you've told your mom and dad stories, that they're just like, oh, jeez. Because mine have done it. I'm like, you should have waited till you moved out. They start telling me the stories. I mean, I have yet to tell my dad that I had his car airborne one night. And might not ever come up. But because of conscience sake, and I really shouldn't share that story with my own kids in here, because I know there's been a few vehicles that have been airborne in fields. So we don't do it because we want our children to learn good habits. I forget what point it was. Carter was in the back seat, and that was me, and I was driving. And I hear him yelling at the drivers. And I get that look right there. From the passenger seat. See? Because I did it with his daddy in the car. And he does it. You ding dong, why'd you do that for? For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. The government should not be out to try to get you. If they are, why are they trying to get you? What are you doing that's getting the attention of the popo? I tell people, I said, you know what? I'm all for guns. 2A all the way. But you don't need to put them all over social media. What kind of nut job are you? It's my right. I'm going to slap your right off your head. All you're showing is you are a David Koresh. Those of you old enough to remember. Or you're the guy that, I can't think of what his name is. Well, it's the guy hiding up in the mountains. Yeah, I just watched a thing on him the other day. Anyhow, it don't matter. Somebody will think of it. But the police are here for good. And if they aren't, then that means the one world order is setting up. You know, there was just a drug bust last week. Marion County, they arrested, I think I heard five. But right here in Morrow County, the FBI took out two. I said FBI. I didn't know that until this morning. FBI. That means they weren't growing weed. Render therefore to all their taxes, or their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Paul is telling believers to do this. You give the police the respect. That's why I despise these auditors. I'm a Second or First Amendment auditor. No, you're just a troublemaker. A lot of times they have found kids who have been kidnapped. Drugs. And you're sitting there, I'm auditing this because I don't trust you. Just give him your stinking ID card. Well, I don't trust the police. What happened? I was raised in school anyhow. You can trust a police officer. You know what happened? Hollywood. Hollywood happened. I ain't saying that there wasn't corrupt cops. I mean, for crying out loud. My moonshine running grandfather was the constable during Prohibition. So yes, there are corrupt cops. But there's twice as many good ones. There are dirtbag Marines. I can list you a few. But Oliver North is not one of them. He got left holding the bag. Everybody has, there has to be a payment. Somebody has to go to jail. So, there's dirtbag preachers. Folks, I got a video a while back, and I had no idea how bad things are. And this was in America. This was an American church. This is how perverted people are getting in the church, because I'm going to hit something here in a minute. They had two elders. Now, you notice we don't have chairs. I always wonder, why do they got those big fancy, they're called thrones, up on the stage. The elders sit up there. This particular service, they had a gold chair here, a gold chair here, and all the young women came up and dropped their clothes in front of them, and they washed them. Naked. What is wrong with the church that we think that's okay? This is in a service. How dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And it shows up because I'm a preacher. Oh, a video you might like. I don't care. It's some prophet so-and-so. I'm like, no, thank you. Don't want to see anything from these perverts again. And these young ladies that are so distorted in their head, they can't read their Bibles. Customs to whom customs. That was the hardest thing for me to do. Okay, that's a colonel. I better get it up. To boot, Louis, I'm going to take my chance. Hey, they love to yell at you. Now, I had no problem saluting the ones that I respected that I knew. See, that was a problem. I told you, I had a problem. Finally, it just got to where I saluted who I was supposed to, according to our customs and our bylaws. Fear to whom fear. First Timothy chapter 2. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. Pray for all people. The neighbor who's dumping his dog waste in your yard. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Why is Paul telling Timothy almost the same thing he told the Romans? Because he wanted people to start using their heads and start living in peace. Israel was not a peaceable time then. Hadn't been for a long time. It's how Rome got there. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's good and acceptable. I don't care if you like the mayor. I've met Donna. I've talked to her. I like her. We don't agree on everything. Tough. She honors vets. She's the one that's headed up the banner program. We need to make sure that we're doing what is right. Now, Jude. A Likewise, by the way, were you able to find the Geneva version? Okay. Oh, found it? Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. For those of you that do not know, the Geneva Bible is actually older than the King James. King James wanted his own version because he didn't like the Geneva Bible. But it's believed by many scholars the Geneva Bible is closer to the actual translated words. Likewise, notwithstanding, these sleepers also defile flesh. Now, just so you know, the King James, if you're reading it in your Bibles, New King James, anyhow, says dreamers. Anybody know dreamers? They're people that come up with all kinds of ideas, but they don't do anything. It's great to dream. I taught my boys to dream. I said, you dream. And I know it's been a frustration for their wives. I said, I don't care. Dream. So what? You didn't get that. Teach your boys to dream. Teach your daughters to dream. Teach your children. Oh, by the way, you may have to teach yourself to dream. I can do this. Likewise, notwithstanding, these sleepers also defile the flesh and despise government and speak evil. Wow, that really is Geneva. The one version I was reading was actually the English version of them that are in authority. They speak evil of those who are in authority. This is Jude. He's talking about people that had creeped into the church, because in verse 4 he describes them a little better. He said, for there are certain men crept in which were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men they are which turn the grace of our God into wantonness and deny God the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was a tongue mouthful right there. But I wanted that version because verse 8, it used the word authority. The King James used dignitary. And when you look in what they meant angelic beings. God's not concerned. He didn't address the angelic beings and the beings in the book of Revelation. Oh, yes, he did, Pastor. It says, to the angel, is the same word that was used for the pastors. He was talking about to the pastors. He was addressing the leadership in the church. People creep in, they have no problem speaking against it. You can talk about me all you want, but just so you know, remember what Romans said, there will come judgment. I don't have to bring it. God does. I had one person go out here, she never did tell me what lies she told on me. Went all over, she supposedly told friends and family lies on me, and she came to us one day, can I talk to you guys? I said, sure. We have no idea what happened. You just quit coming. I went off and I told these terrible lies and I want to sleep again. God has not allowed me to sleep until I address this. I said, sure, you're forgiven. Didn't come back. But you see, folks, we think it's okay to talk about the cops. We're equals. Not really. School teachers. You know, when I go to the school, I still address, even though I'm older than many of these teachers now, and I know these teachers now. My FFA instructor passed away a couple weeks ago. He was the one that died in a fire. 91 years of age. Remembered my name 10 years ago. Remembered my project. How did you remember I had 3 rabbits? That made an impression on the man. He's like, Columbus calls me up and says, what agricultural aspirations does this kid have? Honestly, credit and a half. I could do the math real quick. Okay, that's wasn't a really super easy course, but I got my credits. But they said, what aspirations does he have? I married the farmer's daughter. If anything, nothing else ever comes of it, I married the farmer's daughter. But you see, we allow people to come in and they start stirring. Let me help you out. If that's you, stop it. I'm begging you. God told me to do this a month ago, this message a month ago. If you're talking about the government, yeah, I don't agree with what's going on either. Pray for them. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the cops. Pray for the school teachers, the superintendents. Pray for me. Because if you're praying for me, you're not talking about me. But I will promise you this. You can talk about the president all you want. But what I have learned is when you talk about the pastor that God has put you under, you touched a nerve with him. And trust me, I do not want to do this message. That's why it took me a month. Because I'm like, Lord, but I know. Just so you know, I know there's people in here talking. And I'm begging you, for the love of God, stop. Judgment is for real. It is final. Shut your mouth while you still can. You want my job? Really? I don't think anybody does because I didn't want it. Why? Because my pastor told me what happens. The knife. There's a lot of knives in your back. That's why I don't have close friends. Because I can't. I haven't even gotten to the rest of the message. I'm going to have to stop there. And I was stopping here today anyhow. But I want you, trust me, the Holy Spirit told me to say that just now. Because if we don't stop running our mouths about things we don't know about, we're fools. You know, I'll share this little experience from this morning. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. Somebody was on my mind. I didn't know how to go about praying for them and everything. God woke me up at 4 o'clock the other morning, and somebody was on my heart, and I started praying for them. And then this morning, though, I heard the wood burner blower kick off. I thought, well, fire's died down. Time to go load it up. I go downstairs, load it, come back upstairs, and man, backyard looks like a full moon. I'm like, there was no full moon when I went down. Where's all that light coming from? And I was telling Dave and Bob, I said, I look out and here come these LED headlights across my yard. And they're coming in from the field behind. It's got weed in it. I'm like, who on earth has got the gumption to come up behind my house? I'm thinking, oh Lord, did I say something on the phone that the government heard? But then it went away and I couldn't see it because all the lights were in my face. So I go to the kitchen. The lights are on behind my barn. What? I wish they had came on out so I could see what the heck that was. All right, Remy, come on. He comes with it. He's getting excited. And I go in. I get my 45, put it on my side, get my 9mm, get clothes on because it's kind of cold. It was 17. I get on the phone with 911. I said, hey, I got prowlers behind my barn. Don't know what they're up to, but I'm about to find out. And I get about halfway there. And I said, hang on a second. I said, just stay on the line with me in case it's not what I think it is. I get going there, and then I see this sprayer going across the field. Okay. I'm like, oh. I said, I don't know who'd be spraying at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I talked to Dave. He said, yeah, the ground's froze. Oh, and then Bob said, yeah, he's spraying nitrogen. Ground's froze, spraying nitrogen. I said, yeah, it did look a lot greener than it did yesterday. I was just like, oh. I told the operator, 911, I said, thank you for staying on here. I got to go unwind now. So for another hour, I was awake. But we create things, folks. I mean, honestly, I mean, I know what Angela thought about. She got up. She's like, "What's going on?" She's like, "Don't you go out there?" I'm like, "Oh, it's too late. It's on. It's on like Donkey Kong, man. Uncle Si was going out the door." But we need to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit. We got to be able to follow. Let me tell you right now, God's going to use you. You want Him. How many of you want God to use you? Does everybody? I hope everybody does. I'll tell you the best lesson I ever learned. Zip your lips. Zip your lips. Because, well, I think it was World War II, there was a saying that went around. Loose lips sink ships. And it's not just because you're telling secrets. It's because you're speaking against authority that is from God. Okay, so you don't like the school board. Run. Run for school board. Oh, I ain't doing that. You don't like what the county commissioners are doing. Run. Trust me. You won't like it. I was in a meeting once. I don't like you. That's all she did. Chewed on one of the commissioners. I was in a city council meeting down here. Guy stands up. Your police officers are targeting my son. I think I shared that. I'm like, how? And then I watch these poor police officers that are being recorded and people getting in their face. I'm like, what happened to personal space here, dude? You get any closer, you're going to have a proposal. But that's not the thing anymore. We don't respect what God has placed. You know why? Because we rejected what God has placed in the world. Adam. Adam was the one in whom all the authority was given. Man chose to give that away for a piece of fruit. Then God takes his children out into the desert. He said, "I want all of you to come up on the mountain and meet me." How broken do you think God's heart was that day? They refused to meet him. They chose rather to live by laws. Just amazing. And then when he said, "I will lead you by a prophet," we don't want a prophet anymore. We want a king. We want a king like everybody else. We won't be like everybody else. Did you know the prophet could hear what was going on inside the other king's bedroom and tell the troops where to go and ambush them? But lo and behold, they rejected him. We want a king. God anointed a king, but the people chose Saul. And you know one reason why he was chosen? There was only one reason. Stand up, Richard. Give you a comp. David is about my height. Right there's the only reason. He was head shoulder taller than David. Thank you, sir. He was tall. On his day of his coronation, they had to drag him by his ankles off from underneath his bed. David, as a teenage boy, goes to the creek bed, picks up 5 smooth stones, starts talking smack to a giant who is a warrior. And the guy says, "I'm going to feed you to the birds." He says, "Oh no, today I'm taking your head off." Talk about cocky. That's why God chose David. Yeah, David wasn't perfect, but his whole heart always came back to God. We're going to talk about David and Saul next week. All right, let's stand. Because I'm going to tell you, I learned a lot in there, because there's some things that happened with David and Saul. I thought, what's the big deal? He was trying to kill you, David, remember? David didn't see it that way. And so because of that, I can say, "Hey, you know what? Art, maybe you need to check your attitude. I'm trying not to speak against any other preachers that may be teaching falsehoods right now. I don't have to agree with them. But the second you teach that Jesus isn't Lord, yeah, we part ways there. I don't agree with everything that everybody's doing. And not everybody agrees with us. Some people think we should be out there pounding the streets, using our Bible. Bam, bam. Tried that. It didn't work. Like I said, went street witnessing at Walmart when it opened up. I asked the guys, did you know you're going to hell? Yep. Kept right on walking. I just stood there picking up my jaw from the ground. I'm like, we didn't do this. We didn't go through this in the class. I don't know. Just something else. But I want you all to work on it, okay? Ask God to help you. You see somebody, I went fishing the other day, and guys got up there and said, oh yeah, they're dumping all them fish down there in Columbus in those areas. I stood there, I knew what he was saying. I knew where they were putting them, because they're trying to get people where there's a lot of people fishing. He was talking about neighborhoods that are primarily black. I thought, dude, I ought to shove you in this ice water. I got more black men than I trust you. I got a lot of friends of color that I'd trust a whole lot more than I'd ever trust a bigot. Just because I'm white, you think I'd find that hilarious? Wait till the Irish jokes show up. Wait till the hillbilly jokes show up. Keep that up, the Marine may show up. I don't know. He won't. God's pulled him back. But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we know that your word tells us to honor the authority, to honor those that, even though we disagree with them, help us, Father, to pray for them. Help us to pray for our president, our vice president, our Congress, our Senate, our Supreme Court, our governors, county commissioners, our mayors, our school boards, our township boards. Lord, help us. Father, I pray that for every person that will step out in faith and say, Lord, I need you to stop me. Lord, I pray that you do it. Because, Father, I've seen the judgment come on people. And it's not good. So, Father, help them. Help me to bite my tongue, to cast down those thoughts and imaginations that rise up against the knowledge of your word. And, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, we pray for Miss Whitney. I ask, Lord, that you touch her. Father, as she was not feeling well, Lord, heal her. Settle her stomach in Jesus' name. And I thank you that Miss Edna has been able to be here today, Lord. We love her, Lord. We thank you for that. And Father, bless these people here today. Bless them coming in. Bless them going out. In Jesus' name, amen. You ain't got anything to chew on.